Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C.O.G., whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Praise God. Praise Jesus. Thank you so much, Pastor Mavis. I'm immensely honored to have this opportunity today. And I say thank you so much, sir. And to the executive of the church, I want to appreciate you so much. Not many churches consider the conversations around sex, purity, addictions. Not many churches. They avoid it. So when I see a church that takes this very seriously, I say it's a big deal. So thank you so much, Pastor Mavis. God bless you. And to every department in the church who is working tirelessly to cooperate with the man of God to create the change that we all desire, I say thank you and well done. All right, I've been away for many months. I just wrapped up my NYSC and I'm back here. And yes, you have done a lot of work, but I want to come and do my own. Thank you. So, please, media, can let me have my slides so that we can move fast. So, usually, it takes me about 90 minutes to present these slides, but I'll try to be very fast so that we can move a lot. And because I'm also being charged to talk about dealing with flesh, so we'll see what we can do very quickly. Let's take this song as we start. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you, we have come. Zambe haba handash kapaladash, vrekos koperenda filika mahamba kabaladash. Ancient, like you mean it. Sing it because of your children. Sing it because of your family. Sing it because of everyone you are here representing. With open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart. You are a young leader, and that's the bedrock of everything that this boot camp is built around. You are a leader, and you have to be responsible for that. There is a reason you are here today. I said you're here for your children. I'm very big on parenting. That's because many of the things Pastor Mavis and many other amazing people around the world are doing today for young people, the real problem begins from the background. If I asked you the first time you heard about sex, okay, let's be practical. I'm just going practical. We're not going to serious stuff. Just two people. No serious stuff. Just tell me, what was your first time you heard about sex? Like your first experience? Like the word sex. What was the first time you began to hear it? Can we just have the mic? Just pass to two people. Don't be shy. I'm a very honest person. And as you can see there, I want to share my story. I used to struggle with masturbation and pornography. So this is a no-shy zone. If you are shy, this session is not for you. We are not shy here and we don't run away. So just two people. Just tell me, what was your first time? Or let me make it simpler. Did your parents ever call you to sit you down? To say, let's talk about sex. You can see the murmurings. I think that solves it. Let's just leave the mic, all right, because of our time. The murmuring tells us we have a problem from the background. Many of us heard sex from the internet, from books, from the media. And you know what? The media is not shy about it. The songs don't pamper you. They mention some songs. I'm like, God, is there a... Let me just block my... Bro, I'm on bike and I'm like, if I close my feet further. It's so terrible. But we run away from it in the church. And you know what I discovered? God created sex. Do we believe that? Can we just echo that? God created sex. Sex is beautiful. Some people are shy. Hey, God. Holy Spirit, help us. So let's be practical. I should come out this suit. It's looking too official. So let's say it again. God created sex. Sex is beautiful. Sex is amazing. I love sex. Pastor Ella, talk it now. That's the problem. So let's loosen up. Let's relax. Do you know all of us, including Pastor Mavis, is here because somebody had sex? Yes or no? That's true now. So sex is beautiful. As a matter of fact, when God created the world, made man, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Or God, that multiply is have sex. How do you multiply? It's a system of God's automation. So how come one of the most interesting and fantastic gifts of the Christian body is not taught in the church? That's the fundamental error. And that's why we must come to a point where sex must be discussed. We must talk about it. It goes down to, we tell children, your thing. What's thing? It's called penis. What's toto? It's vagina. It's the truth. We must call a spade a what? Why? Because fear is an inappropriate language of instruction. When we are built, how many of you know this thing? If a boy touches, you get pregnant. Now, let me tell you why this. I'm going to, because the perspective is because when we build teachings on fear, people don't learn. So people run away. And what fear does is that it silences you. I speak with my clients and they tell me things like, I've never told anybody in the last 7 years. How? In the last 10 years, I haven't spoke to anybody. Seriously? So why do you open up to me? They say, I see you. One said, when I think about it, you're showing up in my mind. I say, you never say anything. All right? We need to talk about it. So please get comfortable. I know some of you when you hear say your guards are already up, losing the ghost gaps. Right? Relax. So sex is God's gift. And like I said, you are a leader. And one of the things that we don't hear often is the aspect of protecting your leadership. We hear so many teachings on developing your leadership, how to speak confidently, how to be bold, but we seldom and almost never have teachings on protecting your what? Leadership. So say after me, I will protect my leadership. And how do you protect your leadership? It starts by understanding who you are and the worth of your life. You're not here by accident, you're here by intention. God did not create you when it was less busy. He created you intentional. Now, have any of you have noticed that when great people in the Bible were sent, it was because there was a demand for their presence on earth, right? So the Israelites were in trouble and then God sent this guy, the one with the strength, Samson, right? It was an answer to a what? Prayer. Jesus was an answer to a what? Samuel was an answer to a what? So when you come here, it is not just because two people had a koinonia in the... It's because there is a call that you're supposed to answer to. But you know the trouble here? Devil has designed a system of slavery mentally. So it keeps you in a place where all your life you're here struggling with addiction, where you're supposed to be delivering the nations God has sent you to. That is the problem. So what I want to do, by God's grace, attempt to do in the next minutes I have, is to show you your true power. Addiction is a coward. Please write that down. Addiction is a coward. I don't care how addicted you are. You will never masturbate right here in the front of 100 people. Right? It doesn't matter how serious. Hey, I can't stop. So, there's one guy called me one day. He said, I was crying. So I had an exam next week. I cannot focus. I said, calm down. All right. You will never masturbate in public. You will never watch pornography in public. So that tells you addiction is a what? Coward. As a matter of fact, it is possible that somebody as big as this, when the urge comes and they cannot control it, they will do what? Excuse themselves and go where? Outside, right? But you will never do it inside here. That's a proof your addiction is a what? Coward. Now, if your addiction is a coward, then who is the strong man? You. You are the strong person. You are strong. Oh my God. You're so powerful, devil is afraid of you. And that's why he introduces addiction, so he can just tame you somewhere. Because he's scared of your uprising. He's scared of your becoming. That's the truth in there. So I want to show you your power. You're so powerful. By God's grace, I'm a leadership character development professional and addictions recovery coach. I work with young people to help them build a purposefully productive mindset, laced with flawless character, so you can take your place in destiny. You're so powerful. The devil is scared of you. And that's why he designed addiction. Next slide, please. As a system to keep you in the addiction. Next one. Let's be faster. All right. Overcoming flesh and addiction. So your flesh is not your friend. Write this down. Emotions are good servants, but bad leaders. Emotions are good servants, but what? Bad leaders. What does that mean? Your emotions will never lead you to the right place, but you can lead you to the right place. So your emotions can listen to you, but if you give your power to it, it will mislead you. Are we making sense? Next slide. All right. So the conversation around addiction is not something I can bully you into. I can't colonize you into change. I can't bully you into transformation. So I want us to have an agreement. Are you really ready to leave your old self for your new self? Let go of where you are for where you want to be, and stop sacrificing your long-term beautiful future and promising results on the altar of what? Temporary pleasure and relief. Are you ready to forget all the lies you've read, all the lies you've been taught so far, and embrace new paradigm shifting perspectives? Because some of the things I'll be saying by God's grace might be new to you, might be shocking to you, might sound controversial. So please open your mind. The third one is, are you ready to take a serious decision to permanently quit your addiction and focus on the beautiful life ahead? It's not going to be easy, but it is possible. Is that okay? Do we have agreement? Next slide. Thank you. All right. I must warn you, because at the end of this session, if you take it seriously, you will no longer enjoy porn. The urge will come. You have to say no. That boy that used to sleep with you. Sorry, I don't like to use that word. Two of you that used to sleep with yourself. All right. You will no longer do it again. You will not enjoy it again. So I must warn you. So you need to decide if you are really serious. Next one. All right. So what do you need? You need to be hungry, open-minded, have your physical notes. All right, faster. Next slide. Next slide. Next slide. All right, next slide, next slide. This is actually for my training. So, all right, let's stay here. Can we quickly have seven agreements? Seven major agreements. Next one, sir. Number one, addiction. I need to be very careful here. Let me say the first one first. Now, sexual, okay, that's the first one. It's covered it. You are not an addict, you are a warrior. Please put it down. You are not an addict, you are a what? A warrior. Self-identity is the major trouble with addictions. You are not an addict, you are a warrior. You are a project in progress. So I noticed that in my craft, when people tag themselves as addicts, they've taken up the identity of somebody who cannot be free. And that's not who you are. Number two, sexual behaviors outside marriage is a sin. Kissing, pecking, fondling, masturbation, pornography, as long as it is sexual and it is outside the confines and boundaries of marriage, it is a sin. However, addiction is not a sin. I'm going to explain. What is addiction? Addiction is a scientific and psychological process that involves the compulsive use of a substance or indulgence in an habit that you cannot stop despite seeing obvious negative consequences. Somebody is smoking, and on the park he said, smokers are liable to. It's not normal. You're masturbating and you feel weak every day. Do you know? Holy Spirit, help us. I don't have much time, but I've shown you your semen, which contains your sperm, contains highly nutritious value and ingredients for the growth of your body, for your bones, but you're wasting it on the altar of masturbation. That's why you feel emaciated. You feel weak. Let's not go into that. All right? But what I'm trying to tell you is addiction, which is the process of being addicted to it, the process of not being able to stop it, is a disease, not a sin. Does it make sense? The act itself is a sin, yes or no? But the fact that you cannot stop, despite seeing the results, right, is a disease. And that takes us to the next one, which means that if it's a disease, prayer is good, but prayer alone is not enough. Bible says, watch and what? Have you ever wondered why watch comes before prayer? Because watch involves discernment. Watch involves careful observation. Watch involves getting data. And then you pray with the information you've gathered. Is that making sense? Next one. It says, addiction is not your real problem. It's just your favorite solution. All right? It's not your real problem. Have you ever heard something like, Jekalomotikakparonure? Have you heard it before? So the real problem of the alcoholic is not alcohol. It's the problem that is underlying. Is it making sense? Next one says what? The reason you've not been able to quit is not because you're not good enough. It's not because you're not disciplined enough. Not because you're not strong enough. But because you have the wrong information. So that's what we're going to be doing in the next few minutes we have. Right? It may not be your fault that you have an addiction, but quitting it is your responsibility. Can we say that together, everybody? It may not be your fault that you have an addiction, but quitting it is your what? People have gotten into the chains of addiction because they were molested at 2, raped at 4, abused at 6, and then they lose themselves to that chain and they become addicted. So it might not be your fault, but quitting it must be your responsibility. What does it mean? What's the meaning of responsibility? It means response to an ability. So you need to have the ability to respond to the occasion, not react to it. There are two different things. You can react to the abuse you went through. Dysfunctional family is also a problem. Stress, anger, all these emotions. So you can either react or respond. So you don't react, you respond to the occasion. So the last one here, it does not matter how long. Next slide. It doesn't matter how long, how often you've been struggling. I stand on this altar, exalted by God's grace that you can quit. I used to struggle. I no longer struggle. I know many people who used to, they no longer struggle. If I can, you can. What kind of warrior? Let's keep this part. I don't want to take too much time. Next slide. Let's walk with me. We have about 11 minutes more. All right, next one. It's so much. All right, so please go to this website, tinyurl.com/askdari. Dari Yemi is my nickname. My name is Steven. Ask Dari Yemi. Please drop your questions there. I'll try and take one or two at the end of the session. Just go there and drop your question. It's anonymous. Nobody knows who you are. Don't put your name. I don't want to know it. Just tell me the challenge and we'll take a question. Next slide. Please just walk with us so we can be faster. All right. This is a trilemma of sexual addiction. I call it the 3 A's of addiction. Number one is anonymous. Nobody knows. You can come here, lift up holy hands. That's why I don't rate people who break chairs in church. I'm sorry. I don't rate people who speak so much in tongue, capital tongues. I say, hey, you should be capital tongues again. So you can sound like bazooka, but you're also shooting some bazooka in your private. Do you understand? Pastor Mavis, don't arrest me. So it's got to do gymnastics, spiritual stuff. But please, I beg you, you need to fix this leading, the killers of leaders. I told you you're a leader. So this is the vice that kills leaders. You must protect your leadership. All right? It's anonymous. Nobody knows. If you're a gambler, somebody can know, right? Because they see you with all those things that look like you, at least you, they will just notice somehow. If you're an alcoholic, somebody will just know. Bottles, evidence, but your phone. Number one, you can even clear the browsing history. You can do it. There's incognito. You can do it. Nobody will know. So that's the problem of sexual addiction. Number two, it's available. Buying alcohol is expensive. One bottle is going to be like 700, but all you need is data. 400 million websites available to you to ruin your life. It's affordable. The third one is accessible. It's accessible. Just you and yourself in your room. Nobody needs to know anything. So this is a trilemma of sexual addiction. Next one. These are some of the, please keep it. These are some of the feedbacks from some of my clients. Right, next slide. Next slide, next slide, next slide. All right, so I need to skip this because of time. Next one. Now, how did I get out? So let's take it. Take it to the other one. So here is what I discovered that actually served as the bedrock for my freedom. Number one, porn addiction is not about porn. It's about underlying issues. For instance, some men of God, I'm sorry, I respect pastors a lot. I'm a minister as well, but I must say this, we're a church. Many young ministers who are caught in the web of addiction, it's not because they really enjoy the porn. It's because one of the leading factors of pornography addiction is stress. Is what? Stress. So if you're a minister here, I beg of you, design a strategy for rest. Have a budget for rest. Have you ever wondered why the Bible says when men slept, enemy what? Came. Devil will never come when you're doing ka-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. That's when your energy is going. Oh boy, that's when he will come. And when you are weak, when you are tired, that's when you can now go in the dark valleys of addiction. So have a rest budget. Whether you're addicted or not, have a rest budget. Because it's when you're tired, you go into entertainment, games, you know, movies, comedy skits. And you know some of these comedy skits are actually soft porn. You know what I'm talking about? Good. So have a rest budget. Now the next one, you are not your addiction. You are different from your addiction. Bible says you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, called out of darkness to show forth the marvelous light of God. Yes or no? Good. Next one. Okay, shame is not a strategy. One of the things that happens to you, Holy Spirit help me, a few minutes more to go. One of the things that happens to you first is that fear comes on you. And fear is the father of shame. Have you ever wondered when something happened in the Garden of Eden, the first instinctive directive that came to their mind is to hide. Have you ever wondered about that? Because when you do something God is against, fear comes on you because shame has come. And then you begin to hide. Some of my clients say, I can't pray. I say, it's the devil's strategy. He knows. But the truth is, God is waiting for you to actually pray. Have you ever wondered why in the Bible, the only place God ran was to a sinner? I cannot nash. He said he saw him from afar and the father ran. The brother was like, doing oli oli. Father did not run to him. But was like, you know, fail. This thing, no palash. You know, makes sense. So God is ever waiting to receive you when you fall. Is it making sense? So shame is not an option. It's the worst feeling you can ever have. It prevents you from maximizing your slip up to become a step up. Next slide. You have the wrong information. All right? Next one. Porn is a buffering option. The same way when you're tired to walk, you just put your phone and you're watching comedy skits. It's a way of like running away from the real issue. Right, so it's a buffering means option. Next one, you already have the power from God. Somebody say, I have the power. I have the power. You already have the power to overcome your addiction. It's so powerful. Bible says, I have not given you the spirit of fear. I told you fear is what brings the shame, right? First, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. I have not given you the spirit of fear. What of what? Preach with me. But what? Power, eh? Love and what? Now, what is power? Power is information. What is love? Love is self-understanding of who you are in Christ Jesus. What is sound mind? The mind of Christ. The mind that understands that, yes, I might be going through this, but this is not me. I am not my addiction. I'm not an addict. This came and it will go. So, next one. Good. Now, enough of my own experience. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about you. As you're seated, what are those things you're struggling with? Betting. Oh, Jesus. A woman went to bed to their children's school fees. Ah, Nema Sabella. He gave her Owobe. She carried the Owobe to play sporty bet. Children stopped going to school. Why? Mommy, I play sporty bet. Ah, my God. Next slide. Next slide. All right. You see this thing? Is the bedrock of the challenge you have your addiction. Band-aid solutions. Pastor AY, well done, sir. God forbid somebody has an injury and is a deep cut. And somebody just comes from me and bring bandage and just band it and say, go home. Is it wise? Will he heal? What do? You clean the wound, right? You apply whatever, and then you now bind it, right? And then you said, go home. And the doctor checks on you, right? That's the wise way. But what most of us do when we have an addiction is we use band-aid solutions. Number one, they tell you what? Let's read together. Number one, they tell you what? It's a lie. It doesn't work. Because it's in your brain. Number two, they tell you what? Use willpower. Just say, I will not do it. I will. How many of you have said, God, if I do it again, kill me? Are you dead? What am I talking about? God will not kill you to make you obey his will. You didn't hear that. He's not going to kill you to make you obey his will. Number three, they tell you what? Just fast and pray more. I know one guy told me, say, sir, I've been able to stop for a while. I think I was free. There's this thing, this mountain. If I go there, I don't do it. He said the day he knew there was a problem was the day he did it on that mountain. That's why he knew, sir. Wow. Next one. Bind yourself with a curse. If I do it, don't let me give birth. It's a lie. You will born twins. Use filters and pump blockers. I have about three pump blockers on my phone. I don't use any. The real filter and pump blocker is your mind. When the urge grips you by yourself with your hand, you will uninstall the app blocker. Right? So next one, they tell you, just stop. That's the most ridiculous. It doesn't work. Just replace it. With what? Next one, just tell somebody. That's not true. There's a difference between speaking out and speaking up. When you speak out, you tell somebody. When you speak up, you talk to the right person who will not pity you but give you a solution. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So don't just open up to anybody. I have a lot of people tell me, sir, I told this person, and the person just told me, That's why, in my company, one of the things we do is we hold on to confidentiality. In my head, on my phone, I have secrets of top people you will never believe. So open up to a professional who understands the ethics of the job. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's going to help you. Next one, don't stay alone. It's not true. Will you always be with somebody? You are a global person. You need to travel out. They put you in a 5-star hotel to go and speak in one foreign country. You know, say, I have addiction. No, please put somebody in my room. No, it's not going to work. All right? Next one, ignore your urges. It's not wise. Let me say this. Your urges are not demonic. Can we say that together? Your urges are not demonic. God puts your urges in your body. You are a sexual being. And that's why I told you to understand and be at peace with the fact that sex is good. You are a sexual being. You don't become sexual the day you got married. Have you ever seen toddlers with erection? Have you ever seen before? Toddlers can have erection. Even without thinking of anything, when you wake up as a man, you can have a boner because you're stressed. Your body's at rest. So when you're waking up, you can have an erection, even without thinking of anything. So you are a sexual being. There's a difference between physiology and morality. Your body shows you are a sexual being by feeling like being touched, like feeling like touching somebody. That feeling is normal. But what you do with it, right, is what determines whether it becomes a sin or not. Next one, feel sorrowful and ashamed. I told you, no. Bible says, come boldly to the what? Son of mercy. That's what I'm talking about. Next one says, get married. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Never marry an addict. You will suffer. Are you aware there is a way you can be addicted to masturbation and you become desensitized? You see a naked woman, you don't get aroused until you touch yourself. You marry such a man, you suffer. No matter how shaved and curvy, and you just look at it like a stick. And then we go to his room, lock himself and touch himself. And you're like, look, Pastor. Don't come, Pastor Mavis. Don't marry him, I've told you. All right, next one. So what really works? Wow. So what really works? Next one. Meet the real demons. Next one. Let's do the next slide. Now this is called, next slide. Now this is the addiction's iceberg. This is what you see on top. Oh, I cannot pray. Hey, I'm feeling ashamed. Hey, I'm feeling not productive. This is the real problem. This is the problem you see. But here's what you don't see. Mental health challenges, childhood trauma, poverty, physical, emotional, sexual abuse, pain, grief, loneliness, and all of that. Many more. So these are the real problems. So what you need to do is to fix the real problems. Next slide. What does this mean? Next slide. What do you do differently? Say bye-bye to all those 12. There are 12. Those band-aid solutions, stop using them. They don't work. They're not going to work. If it works a few weeks, a few months, you're going to go back. Sometimes even a few years. So it doesn't work. Next slide. So what is the real game changer? Next slide. Okay, we don't have time for questions. My time is up. Next slide. Next one. Pavlov's, let's leave that part. Next one, how to really quit. All right, take this framework from me, the winner framework. This framework works anywhere. I personally designed this framework from my experience working with clients, dealing with my personal addiction, and intense research. So it works. Next one, number one is what? W. Somebody said W. You've got to be willing. You cannot help somebody who is not willing. Bible says in the book of Isaiah 119, if you are willing and what? Obedient, you eat the good of the land. If you're not willing, it's not going to work. I was on a one-on-one session with one of my clients yesterday, and I told him, look, okay, the fact that you paid me for this session does not mean you'll be free. It's true. Now that I say, I paid you. I'm saying, okay, you have to be willing. Because if I tell you what to do, will you do it? You have to be willing. Number two, intentional. In the book of Ephesians, when Paul preached to some people, they repented and they gathered all the books of their magic and they burnt everything. When I made research, the worth of everything they burnt was $6 million. The worth of everything they burnt. What's the worth of your life? Pastor Marvis was talking about consecration, sacrifice. What are you willing to let go to buy your freedom? Next one. Nip the triggers in the bud. There are two categories of triggers. We have internal triggers and we have external triggers. Internal triggers, anger, stress, boredom, loneliness, offense. If you're always angry at people, it's a trap of the devil. It can easily slip into addiction from there. So nip them in the bud before they grow. Right? Another part of trigger is that when you're not feeling good, you become susceptible. Alright? The next one. Never bargain pleasure, pain over pleasure. Your life is worth more. Next one. Embrace your true purpose. So I tell people, for a man on purpose, impact is his only addiction. Write it down. For a man on purpose, impact is what? His only addiction. A man on purpose has no business with addiction because he's addicted to his purpose. All right, next one. The R, recover strong. Now, this is where the problem is for too many people. You can never recover from addiction alone. You can be delivered. Addiction spirit out. Good. But after the spirit is out, are you aware it can come back? Are you aware? And the Bible says the end of that man will be what? Worse than the what? So recover strong. Plug into a support system. You can get a course, get a book, get to a counselor and stay connected so they can check on you. I do it too. I was in service. I was feeling funny. I called Pastor Mavis. I said, Pastor Mavis, you get the way the body did. I don't understand. And he told me what to do. And that's fine. Yes, even as a coach. Thank you. I feel like that too. All right? So some of my clients call me. I tell them, do this, do this. So it works. I have a system. And that will begin to help you a lot. All right? What I'm doing is so, so funny because we're supposed to go deep dive into this, but we don't have time. All right? On my TikTok channel, I have loads of free videos on TikTok that can help you. Go to my YouTube and all of that. If you want to, they'll be able to help you because we can't cover everything here. Next one. Period. Let's keep it. We don't have time. Next one. Okay, let me talk about this. Even after this session, God forbid, it might still happen. Now, here's the problem. What you do when it happens or what you do if it happens determines if you will be free. Let me say that again. What you do when it happens again is what determines if you'll be truly free. So here's what you need to do. Next slide. Gather data. Where was I when it happened? What was I doing? Who called me? What did I see? A point came in my life. I knew I still enjoyed pornography. I said, Stephen, you still like this thing. And I became very honest. I said, okay. Bible says, be renewed in the transforming of your mind, right? And that's what I did. I said, okay, now I no longer love porn. So what's the next problem? How does it happen? It happens when I'm in the bedroom. So I stopped going to the bedroom. I started opening the bedroom door. All right? Yeah. If anything, you always fight for your life. I stopped taking my smartphone to the bedroom. I stopped looking at my genitals when I'm taking my bath because it's a trigger. Because you are used to the image. Does it make sense? So I started taking baths without looking at my body. These are some of the practical things you will learn when you plug into a system. We can't go into all of those details. All right? Gather data. Re-strategize. Okay, around this time, 10 p.m., sleep by 8. It's true. Because if you don't, you know the problem with many of us as Christians is we pray, but we don't plan. and we frustrate the grace of God. I've been praying for so long. Did you plan? What's your strategy? So I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. So gather data, re-strategize, and keep moving. March on. God is with you. Gather data and be working on it. Even if it happens against God, this is not me. I know you are working on me. I'm a project in progress. God is working on me. All right, next slide. Trust in the finished work of Jesus. This is the real deal, because the truth is, addiction happens to everybody. I believe Jesus was also the Bible says, he who was tempted in every way like us. Which means Jesus also had temptation to what? Is it that said that though? It's not me. Jesus, you heard that. But my point is, Jesus also had the feelings. The Bible says he had the feelings of our infirmities. He's able to what? Help us. So when you have that feeling, you just tell God, Lord, my body is acting funny. Help me, help me, help me. I need to go. The lifespan of any sexual urge is between 60 seconds to 180 seconds. If you can win within those 3 minutes, it's gone. All right? So many stuff you can talk about, but I think we'll just wrap it up here, because I believe that God is working on us, and there can be, of course, there's going to be so much more opportunities. I look forward ahead to my man of God as we make progress. All right, so next slide. Let's see if you see anything there. Is there still anything? Remember that what? There is help, and you don't have to struggle alone forever. Focus on your urges and the loophole. Shame is the biggest enemy. You can retrain your brain not to desire porn again. So let's wrap it up here. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that this has been helpful in any way. And believe me, this is the real thing. There are trainings you will go to, they charge you millions to teach you addictions, whatever, but they will not go beyond these confines. This is the real deal. So please take it seriously and learn more about them. Like I said, you can check any of my free or paid resources online. They will help you so much. All right? And the thing here is that you are a great person. Don't forget, protect your leadership. If addiction meets you inside success, you are gone. Churches have collapsed. Schools have closed down. Lives have been cut short. Businesses have collapsed because people refused to master their body, protect their leadership, and grow into the real value and stature of whom God has called them into. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my time.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of these life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.